This segment of the Avaya Podcast Network is sponsored by CashFly. Deliver content fast with CashFly. Visit CACHEFLY.com to learn more. This is the Avaya Podcast Network. APN. Technology, news, and information.
All in one place.
Welcome to Avaya Tech Talk. Innovative solutions from the Avaya DevConnect ecosystem of partners. Now, here's your host, Guy Clinch.
Good day all, Guy Clinch here, advocate for the government customer in Avaya's product development organization. Welcome to this week's episode of Avaya Tech Talk. Tech Talk is designed to highlight the robust and growing community of Avaya technology partners and the unique solutions that they participate with Avaya to provide to government customers across the globe. Please allow me to introduce you Tim Kenyon, president of Conveyance Systems, who has been a previous guest on this podcast, and Matt Serra, Senior Director of Product Management at Rave Mobile Safety. Reminding you, Conveyance Systems has over 20 years of experience in providing advanced telecommunications solutions to enterprises, including providing their Teledirectory family of PC-based operator consoles and Sentry E911 emergency location solutions for enterprises in all vertical markets. Rave Mobile Safety has the mission to enhance safety through innovative software solutions. Whether students on a campus or citizens engaging with public safety officials, they enable millions to feel safe, secure, and connected. Tim and Matt, welcome to the Avaya Tech Talk podcast.
Thank you very much, Guy.
Thanks, Guy. Good to see you again. Good to see you both, and thanks for being on today. Guys, for those of us who may not be steeped in the concepts of next generation 911, as you so intimately involved in the planning, Matt and Tim, please give us a cliff note description of what next generation 911 means for the average person.
Matt, you want to take first shot?
Sure. For the average person, what it's going to mean is that public safety is going to know much, much more about you and be better able to serve you when you place a call to 911. Today, the technology is serving a public safety answering point are frankly sort of somewhat locked into the level of capability that was available in the 1980s. And, as time has marched on, it's the expectations that individuals have for how they're going to be serviced when they place a call to anyone, let alone 911, has changed greatly over that same period of time. And what we're now getting into having an opportunity to do is to turn over the 911 network and do it in a way where we're moving off of like what we consider legacy technologies and moving it more into IP-based technologies that'll bring all of the rich experience that we are accustomed to with using the internet today.
Totally agree with Matt. The interesting thing about next gen 911 and where we're at today is that there is a little bit of education. I'd say quite a bit of education that still needs to be done out in the market to make people understand what the difference is. There are some people today that already believe that we're able to push certain information to the public safety answering points with a typical 911 call today, and that's not necessarily the case. We can provide phone numbers to the PSAPs, and then they do a database lookup, and then they're able to get services dispatched to the proper location. But really being able to move into next-gen 911, as Matt says, we're going to be upgrading the backbone technology to an internet-based type of approach, SIP-based call routing, and the ability to push even greater amount of detail to those public safety answering points, providing more information to those call takers and being able to push more information out to those first responders in the field to help them do their job better and better serve the public as well.
Well, guys, that's really interesting, and I can see how having only the kind of limited sources of information that are available today to the public safety answering point, the 911 call center that government uses to respond to emergencies, burdens the processes of figuring out what's going on and what needs to be done about it. This wastes time in the process of inquiry, slows down the response, threatens people's safety. How does this change in next generation 911?
Well, I think people have some level of expectation of what 911 is able to do today, and they're expecting quick response times, and they're expecting people are going to be able to figure out exactly where I'm at. They're going to be able to read my phone. They're going to be able to pinpoint my location the moment that I call in. We're going to be changing the ability of these call takers by being able to provide a greater amount of detail to those call centers and eventually be able to provide and allow text to 911, video to 911, audio, the ability to analyze audio that's being presented to 911 when a call comes in, and be able to supplement those call takers with the additional data that'll be required in order for them to be able to do their job more effectively and be able to provide a safer factor for the first responders. Whether we're pushing floor plans down the road, whether we're pushing camera links down the road, and being able to provide better situational awareness for anybody that's approaching a site in response to a 911 call.
Yeah, I agree, Tim. And another way to help the listeners understand how big this change is to even give them a little bit of a sense for the amount of information of public safety answering points have for them when they place a 911 call today. Because you had mentioned the expectations for everything in everyone's life are so high now that to no fault of their own have kind of assumed that 911 has been able to keep pace.
Media hasn't really helped into helping the public understand better what the capabilities are in the public safety communications realm. If you think about shows going back to the early 2000s, shows like 24 and then more recently, the old CSI series, maybe they have the kinds of technologies, sophisticated technologies in the crime labs that you see in those shows, but certainly in the PSAPs that you and I and many others have visited, by and large, those kinds of technologies are far away from the reality of today's situation in the 911 communication centers.
Today's perspective, in particular, if you take a look at commercial installation where the immediate access to the telephone network is served by a PBX, there's actually a pretty tenuous relationship between the PBX database, which is what certainly the in-house telecom infrastructure knows about what's going on from a communications perspective, and the Alley database, which is the database that's used by 911 to get information about a call. So for the most part, that link is just good enough to make sure that a call for a given location is routed to the right 911 call center. But even as we're finding, there's a lot of cases, you know, a lot of complex setups where that's not even necessarily happening, right? That calls are being routed to the wrong place in a multi-location environment. So that's one thing. There's just kind of a very, very loosely coupled relationship between the data that's known at the facility and the data that's known in the PSAP. And then once you get into the PSAP, there's a very, very tiny pipe between that Alley database and the person that's actually answering your call, the telecommunicator. We're talking about a 512-byte record. So for all that rich information that you might have about your facility, and perhaps even, you know, pretty robust and rich information that might even be shown to the security office on campus at that facility, you're only 512 bytes of that can be passed through to telecommunicators. And we're talking a couple text messages worth of information. And if you start putting it in those terms, it's pretty surprising when people first hear that, and I don't think they really expect that.
I know tech-savvy people today would be surprised to look under the covers of 911 and see that commonly available technologies we all take for granted today are not present in that infrastructure. And I know you know the distinction between text messaging and what goes on in 911. And an example, though, is how instead of being able to receive a text message or a packetized data as we expect in the modern world, that 911 information gets transmitted across the legacy circuits embedded in the voice signaling. So it's an old school way of doing it, and it became embedded in the system because back in the day when 911 first came to be, things like automatic number identification did not exist, and so people had to invent a way to be able to send the telephone number and retrieve the data from the automatic location information databases, and those things have persisted until today. It's very, very interesting and surprising, I think, to a lot of us who are in the tech industry.
So imagine receiving only three text messages to tell you about an emergency at a significantly sized facility and having to work with that to form a response. That's the challenge that our telecommunicators live with day to day, and that's really what NextGen 911 is trying to address, amongst others.
You mentioned, Guy, the fact that media doesn't help. People are watching all these awesome cop and detective shows on TV where information is available in a split second, and they can pinpoint somebody in the trunk of a car as they're moving at 60 miles miles an hour down a freeway. People realize that, you know, this is a TV show that they're watching. Not all that technology is that readily available. And even some of the basics that Matt mentioned, like the Alley databases that are available and accessible in the Peace apps today. Limited amount of data, and it's an address information. Doesn't address vanity addresses very well in some cases. And I find it amazing when I'm going through the basics of 911 and we're educating the customer on how 911 has worked traditionally and where it's moving for next gen in the future. When I bring up the whole concept of a master street address guide and where that actually comes from, that it was actually managed and maintained by the Postal Service, things that people don't ever correlate with an emergency or 911. They would ever think, why is the post office involved in this? Well, they're the keeper of all known addresses. And it's getting customers educated about where the technology sits today and how it's being utilized now and how it may not be being used effectively today, but how we can change it down the road. That's kind of the exciting part of this for me, is being able to spend some time talking to the customers and letting them know, hey, this is where we've been and this is where we're going and this is how things are going to change for the future.
Certainly, as a technology person, it's extremely exciting to see where 911 is today and the possibilities for how that future can play out. Do you have maybe some examples of how a future in a next generation 911 environment, the technology that both your companies have brought to the market, make many of those kinds of things available today? So are there examples of how today an organization that takes advantage of the technologies your two organizations produce can begin to bring into place some of these promises of next generation 911 today?
When I'm doing this with a customer, I usually try to break down 911 into two pieces for them so they have a better understanding, especially in the enterprise environment. When we're talking about our corporate customers, there are two pieces to 911. There is what happens inside your corporate environment, and then there's what happens after that call leaves your PBX and how it needs to be handled. And conveyance systems focuses on the enterprise. What are we doing to help the customer to be able to meet their 911 needs and 112 needs as we're expanding into the European market as well with our product line? But we really focus on with the voice over IP communications today, people are going to unified communication platforms. They're flattening and they're consolidating their PBXs and moving to more of a core PBX architecture with a survivable remote architecture spread out throughout the environment. We need to be able to pinpoint where their callers are in their enterprise. An IP phone, you know, could be picked up and moved anywhere in the network at a moment's notice. And we need to be able to pinpoint the location of that device. Or simply a user who's logged in at building one, floor one at breakfast, has a meeting after lunch, and then ends up at another campus, building five on the fifth floor. Being able to track that individual user and what device they are currently at in the event that they dial 911 is what we provide. So we're able to track the movement of these users within that corporate environment, be able to pinpoint the location of not the user or the phone number per se, but the device that is actually being utilized by that individual when they dial 911. That would include wireless devices, tablets, soft clients that are running on a laptop, whatever they may be using at that time of an emergency event where they feel they need to dial 911, 999, 112, whatever it is in their particular area of the world. But being able to pinpoint where that device is that they are utilizing at that moment in time and making sure that the right information is delivered out the outbound trunks, regardless of where they're going, whether they're going to one of the carriers of voice positioning centers or whether it's going directly out the carrier local trunks and being delivered through the selective routers directly to a PSAP, making sure that the right information, the right outbound ELIN or ANI is being used for that device's location, not the individual's phone number, but where that device is so that the information is relative to location. And then we provide the situational awareness for the screen pops, basically, for on-site notification for security personnel or anybody who may need to be aware of an event that is happening in their environment today. Large college campuses are a great example. They typically have their own on-campus police department. They may or may not be taking their own calls, but they want to be aware of everything that is going on in their environment. and the ability to track those users, be able to track the events, and provide that situational awareness to those on-campus first responders is key to be able to protect the students or the administration people or any of the guests that may be on their campus today with relevant information about the event at hand at that moment in time. And with that today, and Conveyant is able to offer this now, we're able to provide floor plans that are relative to location, webcam links, you know, for real-time video feed of where that event is, where that call is coming from, and it could be any other kind of environmental information. Show me where the hot side of the building is right now in relation to where this call is coming from. Any kind of hazmat information, material safety data sheets. Being able to provide that information and make that available to the on-site first responders, first and foremost, so that they know exactly what they're dealing with in their environment. Now we've been able to make this information available, and with our relationship with Smart 911 and their Smart Connect product, being able to provide the links to that same situational information that's available to the on-site first responders, now being able to push that same amount of data directly to the public safety answering point when that call is delivered to their location. And Matt, I'd like you to spend a few moments expanding on that as well and what your product offers at the PSAP level.
Sure. What Tim just described in our earlier conversation, I think you really begin to paint the picture of why the relationship between our three companies, between Avaya, Conveyant, and Rave Mobile Safety, really is more than the sum of its parts. What Tim described was a process that allows the collection of a great deal of intelligence within a campus or within a multi-location corporate structure. And all of that is made available or made possible through the combined technologies that Avaya and Conveyant install on campus. However, just that alone, you're still left with that tenuous link I described between communications platform that's serving a campus and the communications platform that's serving a public safety answering point. And that's where Rave Mobile Safety comes in, is that we swing the doors of the PSAP wide open, and we place our technology in the PSAP and create relationships with partners like Conveyant so that we can pull through all of that rich data that is just not possible to pull down over 512 bytes, bring that into the PSAP so that that telecommunicator has access to all of that rich data that up until this point has been locked up in the four walls of the corporate facility and the PBX. We're doing that in a way that makes it very easy for partners like Avaya and Conveyant to get the data to us, but then also very easy for our partners in public safety, where they know that all they'd have to do is work with Rave Mobile Safety and our Smart 911 platform, and through that relationship, they're going to immediately gain access to not only the data we provide, but to the data that Avaya partners provide. And they're going to know it's going to be very easy for their telecommunicators, because regardless of where that data is coming from, it's going to be presented in a very concise, repeatable, and consistent way, so they can continue hammering away at the great job they're doing. It's just that they're going to have more information at their fingertips to just make their decisions that much more informed.
And really being able to provide this information in this fashion from the enterprise through Rave Mobile Safety's product to the PSAP is that's that whole discussion about providing this technology over the top of the legacy network. The plan is in Next Gen 911, when everything is a SIP happy world, and we've got SIP end to end all over the place, and the work that Matt shares with Nina and the additional data working group, of which I've played a minor part in this, but being able to push that same information and being able to get that to the PSAP is where we're heading in the future. But being able to provide that today over the top of the legacy network is something that is really exciting for the people in the public safety arena, because they know they don't have to wait. They know it's going to be a while either to get the funding or to get product implemented, standards to be set, people to build to those standards, providing the level of security for data to be able to get the information delivered to the PSAP. It's a process. It takes time. There are rules to follow. There's legislation that may have to come into play. There's funding that's going to have to come into play. We're able to provide this today, you know, with the way that these entities, Avaya, Conveyant, and Smart 911, are able to provide this information today over the top of the legacy network and get that information into those first responders' hands now. And one of the things that's exciting for me, I come from a family of emergency services people, both police and fire, in my family. And when I have these discussions discussions, and we have very lively discussions as a bunch of Irish cops and firefighters, being able to sit down and talk about the technology that we're able to provide for the future. They get very excited about the fact that we're going to be able to provide information to them before they've ever arrived at the event. From a firefighter's perspective, being able to see what the floor plan or what the layout of the facility is so that they're doing their incident response as they are en route instead of waiting until they get there and trying to figure out what they're dealing with once they get there. Or being able to provide information via a video feed to those first responders about an emerging event, whether it be a shooting situation, whether it be just an alarm that somebody's responding to in the middle of the night, and being able to get this information delivered to the call takers and for them to be able to respond and push that data out to those first responders is phenomenal. They're very, very excited about what we're able to do, not only to protect the consumers that are out there, but also able to provide a higher level of safety for our actual first responders, the people that are putting themselves on the line every day responding to these emergencies. And Matt, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but with your product in the Peace app, does that also now allow them to be able to push that information out to those mobile data terminals as well? Once it's in the call takers in their control, aren't they now able to push that out to the mobile data terminals?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, the capability just doesn't end within the PSAP walls. We want to continue making that information available to the first responders, so the people that are actually dispatched to the scene. An opportunity, and I truly believe it is an opportunity, as the data that comes into the PSAP becomes richer and more verbose. So now you begin to get not only an information about a missing child, let's say, when someone calls 911, but suddenly if that call is accompanied with a photo of that missing child, the benefit of it being able to transmit that photo all the way out to responders as fast as possible is critical. Has that data like that, like that photo, like a video, like maps or detailed information, let's say, about hazardous materials on a factory floor. Those things, as we get more and more data, it's just not reasonable to expect the telecommunicator can get that all over or dispatch that out with existing tools. The tools all the way downstream are going to have to expand as well.
Well, there's certainly lots of opportunity in the future, but it sounds to me really right now that your companies combined with Avaya have the ability to be able to make a lot of the promise of next generation 911 available today. And so for the audience, typical audience of this podcast, government agencies or public institutions like universities, it seems to me there should be a level of urgency about looking into these technologies and adopting them, whether that's solving the problems that exist when someone in a large government organization dials 911, and the way in which Tim's company helps solve the problem of not only finding accurately where that person is located in a complex environment, but providing the kinds of information you can wrap around that, and the ability for your company, Matt, to be able to tie in specific information about the individual. I think about public institutions like public universities and their in loco parentis responsibility to the students. It just seems to me absolutely compelling that people should be starting to take advantage of this yesterday.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it's helpful, I don't know, for me in the way I think, to have current experiences to touch back on. Let's take the rollout of wireless location. The wireless location is the ability to locate a mobile phone at least accurately enough to route it to the correct 911 call center that's serving your immediate area. That, people can imagine, is incredibly important and is out there today. But when you compare it to what we're trying to do through next-gen 911, it's actually a much smaller project. It's a very pointed problem. Have a mobile phone, want to know where it is, want to route a call based on where it is. Yeah, next-gen 911 problem is far bigger than that. The rollout of mobile phone location took the industry, both public and private, about 10 years to reach a saturation where we can say, by and large, if you're going to dial 911 from a mobile, it's going to be routed to the correct location automatically. So if you start to take that model and then apply it to the problems we have ahead of us, the work we have ahead of us for next-gen 911, this is not going to be something that's available everywhere tomorrow. And so I think the great thing about Next Gen 911 is it's brought a lot of conversations to the table, and it's really opened people's eyes to what the possibilities are, and they start to realize, oh my gosh, yes, I could do work very differently, or I can serve my community far better if I had all this additional information. And it really kind of gets people in a very creative frame of mind. And what we've done is taken, I think, a lot of the energy that's been generated through the talk of Next Gen 911 and then shown them, yes, you know, you need to get there. The decisions you make today about technology need to be considered with a migration plan to having a full Next Gen 911 capability. But you don't have to wait for Next Gen 911 to be there before you can begin getting this data. And that's really, you know, the story that Rave Mobile Safety has been telling, is to show that, you know, here's the things you're thinking about, here's the things you hear, here's how we can get it to you today in a very quick, simple to implement fashion. I mean, we can turn a PSAP up in a matter of just a couple days with our technology. But then also, to be the good stewards of all this, you have to show them that you're thinking ahead to Next Gen 911 and you're going to be Next Gen 911 ready. And that's why we do spend as a company, you know, in particular for a company our size, invest quite a lot into staying very close to the development of 911 standards and participating actively in that, so that we're going to be able to serve our customers not just now, but when they flip the switch over to Next Gen 911, we'll be there for them as well.
And I would say conveyance the same. We try to make sure that we stay abreast of current technology and the trend in 911 and where things are going. And we also make sure that we spend quite a bit of time with the Avaya folks that are involved in public safety to make sure that we are working towards being a good DevConnect partner with Avaya and making sure that we're developing the technology that falls completely in line with the Avaya vision, you know, for public safety, both in the corporate environment as well as what they're wanting to be able to provide at that public safety answering point. So we spend an inordinate amount of time in staying abreast of the current technology, the standards that are moving forward, and try to be an active participant in those groups as well with Nina and so forth, to be able to make sure that we are aware of the technology, where it's going, and being able to make sure we provide a clear, concise, and well-defined roadmap for our customers, Avaya's customers, Smart 911 customers, where the direction is for our company going forward for Next Gen 911.
So, listeners, we're almost finished here, but before we close, I'd like to mention, I'm in the Boston metropolitan area, and Matt's company is based in the Boston metropolitan area, and in the last week here, we've gone through a really difficult situation, and I understand that, Matt, your company is doing something related to the tragedy of the Boston Marathon to give back to the community. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes, I mean, everyone by now is well aware of those tragic events, and certainly everyone's been affected one way or another. And as you noted, we've been particularly touched by what's happened, you know, both by being a Boston area company, then also being so close to the folks that, you know, take the 911 calls and are dispatched and putting their lives out on the line every day. Shortly after the events of April 15th, the mayor of Boston and the governor of Massachusetts set up One Fund Boston. This is a fund that collects money to help those that were affected by the attacks of during the marathon. And for the 26 days following April 15th, our company is going to make a donation for each and every individual that registers for Smart 911. So I do hope if the listeners go to smart911.com, create their own safety profile. What's going to end up happening here is that should you dial 911 and your call is routed to one of our clients' public safety answering points, they're going to have access to all of your information. Also, at the same time, Rave Mobile Safety is going to be making a dollar donation to One Fund Boston. So we encourage all your listeners to go and register for themselves and for the city of Boston and to share this information, as you know, we're very committed to providing our support to this charity.
So I don't see any reason why all of our listeners wouldn't do that. There's benefit for them in being able to have information that may someday save the life of one of their loved ones, and also do a great thing by contributing to the disaster relief of the city of Boston. So thank you, Matt, and thank your company for doing that. We've been speaking today with Matt Serra, Senior Director of Product Management at Rave Mobile Safety, and Tim Kenyon, President of Conveyance Systems, about how government organizations and other enterprises can achieve next-generation 911 capabilities today. If you'd like to learn more on this topic, Tech. Please visit my colleague Mark Fletcher's blog on Avaya.com and listen to some of his podcasts, as well as you can get information from both the Conveyance Systems website and Rave Mobile Safety, and those links will be posted to my blog. Thanks for joining us here today on Avaya Tech Talk. You can subscribe to our episodes on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, #APNPodcast. Talking Tech, this has been your host, Guy Clinch, the advocate for the government customer at Avaya.
This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN.